Welcome to the Time and Talks podcast. I'm your host, Tejal V. Patel, and this is the place where we have refreshingly real talks about the biggest problems moms face in motherhood and life and the spiritual solutions to solve them. If you're ready to reset your mindset with some major truth bombs, well then let's dive in. Today, we're talking all about censorship, cancel culture, and how to break free from the people-pleasing wound that we have so deeply rooted in so many of us. When I heard the quote, "I'm not sorry that I don't live up to your story about me." This was said by Luis Mujica, my somatic practitioner, coach, and teacher, and this awakened something in me. I want to say it again. I'm not sorry that I don't live up to your story about me. There's so much freedom that I felt with that. The freedom to not perform and placate and to put others' needs before my own. The freedom of just being who I am and not having to live up to your expectations. Wow, this felt so liberating for someone like me who was a pathological people pleaser for almost all my life. Over the last 3 years, especially after COVID, there was this sign on a fruit stand that I would pass every single day when I was dropping Rehan off at school. And it was the most peculiar thing for a fruit stand, but it said, "Cancel culture is un-American." Now, this is a time when Black Lives Matter, COVID, all that stuff was kind of coming out. And I'd go by it and I really didn't understand the depth of what cancel culture was because I thought it was something out there, something that happened to celebrities and big time TikTok stars. And I didn't really give it much thought. But over the years, being a content creator myself, and no way have I experienced being canceled, quote unquote, but I have experienced having negativity, shade, trolley comments sent my way. Very minimal. But it's not so much the random people sending messages or, you know, making comments that really ever irked me. There was a few people that stand out. The things that really activated me were the people that had followed me for a really long time. People who enjoyed my content, who had connected with me. And then there would be something that I shared, not intentionally, not maliciously, but it'd be something that stirred something up for them, activated them, maybe polarizing in some way. And they didn't agree with my standpoint. And they would turn. And it would really just blow my mind. And it always has kind of blown my mind, especially even when I was a divorce mediator. Like, how could you at one point of your life love someone so much, dedicate to spend your life with them? And then when I was seeing them, they were like the worst enemies and like at neck to neck with each other. And that really fascinated me about humans. It's like, how can we turn? And even in my own personal life, it's like, you know, my first relationship, it lasted 7 years. Started dating this person when I was 18 and it was well into my 20s. And it was the person that I talked to almost every single day since I was like 16, 17 years old. And it's like this person that's like been such a big part of your life. And then all of a sudden, they're no longer part of your life. You no longer talk to them. And that always felt really interesting to me. Like, how does humans, does that happen where they're like your world one day and then they're nobody to you another day? And there's this adjustment period, right? And of course, spiritually, I've learned that, you know, people will come in and out of your life and there's a reason. And sometimes it's for phases. But when you make a genuine connection to someone, how can we then turn on them? So it's always been something that's been fascinating to me. But someone like me, I don't want to label myself, but if you're looking at the traditional attachment styles that they have, I tend to be a little bit more avoidant, sometimes anxious, but definitely more avoidant, meaning that if I'm in a confronting situation, my baseline is to feel so much activation that it feels so uncomfortable that I'll back away, that I don't have the capacity. I'll freeze. I want to shut down. I want to create as much space. I might not say anything and I'll just walk away and then I'll unthaw. And then all the things that I wish I would have said will come to the surface. So I share all this kind of as background because I think a lot of us can relate to that, that avoidant, maybe I don't want to ruffle the feathers, I won't say anything mean. You know, we come from a genuinely good-hearted place where we want to be nice, quote unquote. And I have my issues about the whole nice thing, which I'll talk about the difference between nice and kind a little bit later. But we have this need and this desire to be nice, which essentially is rooted in the people-pleasing mechanism of I need to be liked in order for me to feel safe. So there have been instances, quite a few, where these moments where someone that has been following me, someone I've had really pleasant interactions with, will turn on me. And it's ranged from people giving me character assassinations, really going for the jugular and trying to belittle me and shut me down and censor me, to comments that are just a little bit like, ooh, I used to like what you shared and then you shared this and now not anymore. It's like very polarized. Like one thing, just snap of a finger, they like you one day and then they dislike you because you don't have the same viewpoints as they do about something. And my whole thing is that that's a problem. If we have the same viewpoints about every single thing, that's a cult. And that somebody is not being authentic in that relationship. But there is a genuine wound that we have, that there's a sense of lack of safety. Like, I need you to agree with me, to be able to be just like me in order for me to like you and to feel safe with you. And that's that person's own individual wound, that there is a lack of capacity to handle the discomfort of disagreement, of dissent, of being different. And if I have my people pleaser wound active, you disliking me will potentially put me into a fawning people pleasing mechanism where I will want to please and apologize and perform to make you like me and, placate the situation, just ease it out, do whatever, put your needs first. And shut myself down, maybe. I might censor myself. I might dim my light. I may just do whatever I need to do to make you like me. And this is where codependency really comes about. And there's times that I've felt like I just won't say anything. And that's my avoidance. Like, I didn't feel ready to say anything. And there's been times as I've been growing and healing through my people pleasing, and then I would say, like, it's okay. The two truths can coexist. Like, we don't need to agree on certain things. And that will trigger some people. Some people will be like, well, it's not just me. I talked to my sister and other followers feel the same thing. Like, there's like this mass need to bandwagon in order to make you feel not good enough, to not feel liked, in hopes that you will change your behavior and, you know, dim your light and squash your truth so that I feel safe. And like I said, as my people-pleasing wound started to disintegrate, as I started to integrate it, I wasn't susceptible to dimming and, you know, shutting down and not speaking. That definitely did happen. And I did, you know, withstand from certain type of content because I didn't feel safe being able to share it until I felt more grounded in my need to not feel liked or to need approval from those outside of me that are, you know, I'm creating this content for. But I really did make a point that there is a way to share feedback that does not have to be character assassination. There's never a right reason to annihilate someone's character because you disagree with them. And that to me is that there's so much charge and urgency and lack of regulation and capacity in your body that when you experience something that's a dissent, your immediate reaction is to lash out. There is no pause. There is no ability to sit with the charge and the activation that's coming in your body. And I know this because this is the same thing that would happen to me on the receiving end. Receiving a negative comment, I would feel this urgency to respond right away because there was this charge that I couldn't sit with. And there has been the mistakes that I have done that where I have responded right away and it wasn't aligned in my highest truth. I never just respected anyone, but it wasn't coming from my heart and my loving awareness and, you know, from a regulated space. And so in this experience of learning how we create these covert agreements with people that I need you to behave in a specific way and you need to change in order for me to feel safe. And so that's why this whole, you know, mantra, I'm not sorry that I don't live up to your story about me. That is so liberating as a recovering people pleaser, because you start to sit and realize that my purpose here is not to be liked by you. My purpose here is to be liked by me. And when I start to focus on what are the characteristics of my divinity and my soul that I like, that I want to embody, that I turn away from when I feel the charge in my body to please you and perform and placate, I started to bring up this idea where, what if I started to live as if I'm already canceled? Because that was the ultimate fear, is the cancel culture, that you'll say something that everyone will then hate you, dislike you, discredit you, judge you. And that's the deep fear. That is the worst case scenario for someone who has this deep desire to be liked. So as I was doing somatic work, I really sat with that. What would it feel like in my body to be canceled? And let me tell you, it was painful. It was really, really difficult to sit with those sensations without escaping it, really being with it, holding its hand, witnessing it, allowing it to express. And it reaches the crescendo as like if you're reaching a labor surge, and it feels so raw, and it's like your nerves are so, open and fragile. And then as you're with that emotion, and as I started to co-regulate with, you know, looking outside and like recognizing I'm in my room right now, like being present in the now, like I'm not canceled right now. It's not happening right now. But even if it happened, there was a sense of safety in my body that even if that happened, I would be okay. I would survive it. And so I started to learn how to build the capacity of the things that scared me the most. Learning to build the capacity of letting my kids be angry at me. Learning to live with the capacity of disappointing someone by my no. And not taking it on as guilt, really sitting with those feelings, not thinking about it, really sitting with the sensations and the charges that come up in my body and allowing them to be there, finding the safety in my body, the place that can be, feels authentic when saying no, feels authentic that even though you don't like my boundary about not watching television and you can be disappointed and angry with me, but I'm okay. I'm not here to be liked. My worth is not dependent on my child liking me. My worth is not dependent on a follower liking my post and agreeing with it. And there's a freedom that came with building the capacity of handling disagreements, of being different, of really building the idea that, can I allow two truths to coexist? Now, mentally, I really did believe in that that's the universal truth. Two truths can coexist. Like when we're looking at a problem, you know, Einstein says that you can't solve a problem with the mind that created it. So the rational mind that is hyper-focused on a problem cannot create a solution. We have to allow some stillness in the rational mind, allow some groundedness, some anchoring of light so that divinity can flow in and channel a creative solution. And when you tap into that realm of stillness, there's infinite solutions. Now, I really learned how to build this practice in my life as I was teaching critical thinking to my kids. So the simple ways that I bring it with my kids is like simple problems and how to create numerous solutions, not looking at it in a binary way where there's only one right solution and there's a wrong solution. There's multiple ways and there's different ways of looking at a problem and coming up with solutions. So for example, I would come up with very everyday things like say we're cleaning up the breakfast table and there's three cereal boxes and I have two hands. So I'd be like, guys, I have a problem and I need you to help me brainstorm some solutions. So there are three cereal boxes on the table, but I only have two hands. How am I going to put the cereal boxes back? And I would be like, there's no wrong solution. So just brainstorm and we're going to just pick one. And the idea is that, you know, Ayan will be like, well, I can carry all three like this, or you carry two and I'll carry one, or all of us will carry one. Rian's like, we could kick a box and then I could hold the other two. And we're like, that's an option. Like, okay, Is there any other options? Like, nope. Okay, from those, which one should we do? There's no right or wrong, but which one feels aligned to do right now? And then be like, okay, why don't all of us take one box? All right, perfect. The idea of that is to build this idea that there are more than one truth and ideas and solutions that can coexist. So that really started solidifying the idea that, yeah, your truth and my truth can coexist. Another like realm that really takes place is spiritually, right? Because we start to bring the ego dualistic lens of what is right and what is wrong. And there's so many mysteries of the universe that some people channel, and one person channels one thing, one person channels another. And I'm such a strong believer that based in the dimension and the reality and the realm that you're in, there are different right answers. Like the way that we manifest on a 3D versus a 5D or, you know, beyond is different. The rules are different. So I had read this this quote, and it was really fascinating. And this really helped me develop more of the two truths can coexist. And they said, think about this. Maybe at the end of your life, the light that we see at the end of the tunnel is actually the light in the hospital room that you're getting born into. And the reason that you come crying out of the womb is because you're remembering all the things that and people that you left behind. But as you grow, you start to forget that past life, but you still have glimmers of that reality and those memories through deja vus. So they never really go away. And it was like, think about that for a second. And I just sat with it. And I was like, I'm not here to prove if this is right or wrong. This is definitely a possibility. And I'm okay settling with not knowing if this is right or wrong or proving it's right or wrong. I can settle that this is a plausibility. This was from somebody's, whether it's their opinion or a download or a channel, I can allow this to coexist with maybe an idea that's different from someone else's or mine. And there's such a settling that I don't need to prove and be right and to invalidate this or someone else and having to like double down. Like this can coexist with what I believe or what you believe. And so that's what I truly believe, like the crux of critical thinking, of being able to think outside the box and allowing multiple solutions and ideas to be interplayed without the need of right and wrong. Allowing the capacity in our body to really dissent, to disagree, to be disliked. I think this is really the crux, because we're going to stifle ourselves from being seen and speaking up and downloading our truth if we're so concerned at the vantage point of what other people are going to think, or if we're scared of being judged. So what I've really learned is like, it's all about my intention. Connecting to my higher divinity and everything that I design to share is not to awaken others or to change people. It's just to activate a truth that is coming through to me, and it may resonate or it may not resonate. And what I've learned that if you are a way shower or a light bearer or someone who is bringing and anchoring light into this dimension, your light is going to activate and inspire some who are ready, and others who are still awake. Even moths are attracted to light. So they might be still in the awakening period, or they're still asleep, and your light is going to activate and trigger them. And that is okay. It is not my job and responsibility to filter what I say, to assuage and, you know, placate your activation in your body. I'm doing my job as a mirror to just shine the light of whatever is inside of you. And so I don't have to take it as guilt on my part, or, you know, my need that I need to perform to make you like me. In fact, I find that there's such a big, beautiful, delicious pleasure in not finding the need to share my side of the story. You know, for most of my life, I felt very comfortable in some essences in a really twisted way. I've always been misunderstood. So that doesn't actually trigger me as much. It was the being disliked that triggered me, because I thought that I had to be nice, to be polite. I had the good girl programming set in me that I needed to be nice. And being nice is just the programming of manipulating someone to like you so you feel safe in your body. It's just a social programming. And so the more I started wiping away, I'm not here to be nice or polite. I'm here to be honest, clear, respectful, but be kind. There's a difference between kind and nice. Kind is when you're embodied in your truth and you're saying and anchored in your light so that the other person experiences the light within them, or it activates the shadow within them so it brings it to the surface so that they can see it. And so either one is not my responsibility. It's just that me anchoring my light is going to create some alchemy in your body. As you shine your light, it's going to create some alchemy and give people certain feels. And we're not responsible for taking that on as ourselves. And so the more that we get comfortable of just being the anchor, being the light, kindness is all about, you know, being in a way that is for the highest good of all. An awakening, if you awaken or trigger someone's shadow, that is for the highest good of all. It doesn't feel comfortable. It is not pleasurable. But for me, I've realized the more that I witnessed my own activation, the more I sat with my own activation, and the more I witnessed someone wanting to censor or shame or shut me down, I was able to witness them without needing to be avoidant or make them judge them and make them be the oppressor or make them the person who's like, who does that? I can witness and see them in their activation and notice like, ooh, I can lean in with curiosity. Like for some people, it's like, help me understand. Like, what is going on? Like, what about that triggered you? And for some, I don't get the need to necessarily dive in, but I can bless them and I will always respect them. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to build this relationship with you, but I will respect you as a human being. And so for me, when it comes to who do I like, what do I like about myself? I like myself when I'm not judging you for judging me based on the activation that you feel. I can hold space for that because I'm human too and I've experienced it. So I understand how difficult it is. And you're still on your journey just like I'm on my journey. And you're healing your parts and your wounds and your need for finding safety outside of you. But I'm going to do the kind thing and not be the person who steps in to placate you and to be a distraction on your growing journey. I'm going to be that teacher in an unconscious way of kind of pushing you and guiding you on your journey without giving you the answers and loving and giving you light and blessing you on your way. I'm not going to judge you and bring more karma to this relationship. And so when we live by the universal law, I shall do no harm, that means that we will no longer allow people to oppress us, meaning I'm no longer going to identify with the victim persona. That means that we claim our sovereignty and our ability to be in alignment with our higher selves and have the agency to speak our truth or walk away and witness other people's activation without taking it personally. There's a great freedom that comes from that, that I hope that we all start leaning into, start building the capacity of dissent, of disagreement, of being disliked, of not needing other people to bring us safety in our body. The more we do that, the more our codependency wounds will start to break away. The more that cancel culture will no longer be a thing. The more that acceptance and critical thinking and tolerance and understanding and curiosity will come into play. We can have debates without being activated and wanting to shut people down and lashing out. And we can really walk away from something and be like, I can agree to disagree. I can love you even though I disagree with you. I can respect you even though I disagree with you. I will not judge you because you are different from me. I will not make you the villain of my story. You know, and a big part of that is making sure that we are not being a villain in someone else's story or oppressing others. And I look at oppressing, it's not just in an abuse phase. It's like, I'm not going to violate anybody's boundaries without their consent. And that essentially means I shall do no harm. I will not violate your expression, even if it's uncomfortable for me because you're lashing out at me. I'm not going to censor you from your expressions. I don't have to feel great about it. I might have my own activation around it. I may choose that I don't have capacity to have this conversation. Doesn't mean that we always have to be love and light and peace and, you know, accept and be a doormat. We can speak our truth. We can be very clear and direct with our boundaries and our truth, but also be respectful and be kind in our approach of understanding, I get it, you're still on the healing journey, so am I, and I give you grace. So I really hope this serves us well, because everything that we see in the collective that feels unfair, that feels unjust, that feels wrong is because it starts with the individual relationships that we have with each other. And I believe cancel culture is really just a macrocosm of us lacking the ability to be in relation with others that are different from us, that it scares us, and our need to dominate others in order to feel safe. Like, when did it become that creating violence and dominating and controlling outside of us, wars, is what makes us feel safe, that brings peace? It absolutely does not. If you think about it for a second, it's actually the complete opposite. It's about cultivating, you know, when I was in my mediation, it's like about cultivating a common ground and being able to see the unity and humanity in each of us and meeting in the middle and being like, yes, we can agree to disagree here. And this is what we're going to come and meet in the middle. So I really hope this serves you well, because I want it to be a practice in our own life of building capacity for not needing to get our needs and wants and likes from someone else, not having this urgency and this lashing out when you disagree with someone to just make a rude comment, like having enough ability to an impulse control to not need to do that. Like, we can't expect that in the world if we can't do it and with our own voice, without lashing out or having keyboard courage, but like to say and spewing things out to strangers to shame them and to shut them down and annihilate their character, when that is creating harm, that is creating karma for you and based on how they respond for them too. And so if we're trying to elevate and evolve and heal, we got to do our part on an individual level. So really hope this speaks to you. Definitely let me know, you know, in the DMs on Instagram at Tejal V. Patel to dive deeper into this. This is such a juicy, you know, idea for me of like breaking cancel culture, because I think it's like one of the most dehumanizing and damaging things for our freedom of expression and sovereignty that we do to each other that we don't have to participate in. It's as simple as I choose not to participate in this and give energy to it. And we do have that much sovereignty and power and control, and I hope you reclaim it. Sending you so much love and so much light, my friends. Stay well. I want to thank you so much for taking time to listen to this podcast today. I really hope it resonates with your soul and you take something really positive away from it. If you found benefit and value, I would so be grateful if you take a moment of your time to just head over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave a rating and review. This really does help other moms who are looking for positivity and wisdom to find the podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a blessed day.